First Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. And I want to ask you to stand on your feet as we read the Word of God together. There's power in the Word, and we must give it the honor that it deserves. First Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. A scripture says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you are also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the entrance of your word brings illumination. Lord, I pray that as we delve into the scriptures today, that we shall receive revelation, and that will help us live better, that will help us continue to walk in faith and see the things that you've prepared for us. We pray against every destruction of the enemy that would rather come to steal that you're planting in us today. We thank you, Lord, for in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please have your seat. I have given you permission to give your neighbor a high five and tell them welcome to church this morning. If your neighbor does not want to respond with a high five, please tell them the preacher has said. Because I have authority right now for the next few minutes, and they must agree to everything that I'm telling you to do. The title of my message is The Good Fight of Faith. The Good Fight of Faith. And Paul is writing Timothy, his son, and he's telling him something very key concerning our faith. And there are two words. The first one, the first fight, or the word fight is used twice. And there are two different Greek words that are used and translated with the same word fight. So the first fight denotes one, three aspects, but the first one is to compete for a prize as in a game. So what is he saying? He's telling Timothy that fight, in other words, compete for a prize like in a game. Number two is contend with an adversary or with difficulties and dangers. And number three, he says, endeavor to accomplish something or obtain something. So watch this. He says the first fight, number one, you are competing for a prize as in a game. Number two, you are contending with an adversary or with difficulties and dangers. And number three, he says, endeavor to accomplish something or obtain something. The second fight, because there are two fights here, he says, fight the good fight. The second fight has something that it communicates to us here. So the second fight is now where the first fight is taking place. Praise the Lord. So the second fight is speaking about the arena, the place where the fight must take place. Praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord. He talks about an assembly. The second word after the word good has the idea of an assembly, the place of contest, the arena, the stadium. Then it also talks about a contest. So this phase that we are talking about is a contest. It's a battle, as in a game. And then the third thing here, it also talks about the fact that we, as believers, must know where the action must happen. So let me say this. The first one says, we are competing, contending, and endeavoring. Somebody say competing, contending, and endeavoring. So you and I are competing for something. And please, don't get me wrong. Scripture says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work out what has already been given to you, not work for your salvation. We Salvation is not worked for. Salvation is not earned. Salvation is a gift from God. But we are supposed to work it. Praise the Lord. So in other words, what has been given to me on the inside, because all I did was to believe in Jesus, it was given to me, but I must work it. I must do something on the outside so that that salvation, that faith can grow. Faith is a muscle, so you need to work it. Help me tell your neighbor, faith is a muscle. You need to work it. So he's saying that we are competing, contending, and endeavoring in an arena where the contest or battle, the game is about faith. It's not about who can run fast. It's not about who can jump the highest or who can throw the farthest. In this arena, it is about faith. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 16. The scripture says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench, mark that word, quench, all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Above all. And he's saying, above all, it means after all these things I have pointed to you, above all. So can I now say that the shield of faith is the most important piece of our spiritual armor? Praise the Lord. Because it says above all. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. The word above all in my literal English means most important of all. Use the shield of faith. So why is this fight of faith? Why is it so important? 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 to 9. 1 Peter chapter 5, 8 to 9. Let's read together. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith. He says it again, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. He says, resist him steadfast in the faith. Again, the word faith is showing up. So there is an enemy who wants to rob us of our faith. Oh, you missed a good place to say amen. The enemy, Satan, is so afraid of our faith that he does everything in his power to try and discourage us. That's why this message is important to us today. Think of how important faith is in the believer's life. Why is this faith important? Let's look at some ways faith is. Why this fight of faith? Why are we contending in the arena of faith? Number one, write this down. Faith is how we please God. Faith is how we please God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 23. 11 and verses 6, beg your pardon, says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Watch this, he says, God, that means God rewards through faith. Hallelujah. God rewards through faith. Romans chapter 14 and verse 23. The second importance of faith, faith is what receives from God. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says that if you don't walk in faith, you have sinned against God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many sinners do we have this morning? Including myself. Because there are so many instances where I have not walked in faith. I have looked at the things around me and I have concluded, I think this is impossible. This will never happen to me. Who said so? If God said it, he will be sure to fulfill it. Praise the Lord. Because he's God all by himself. One of my friends told me, he says, we can ask God questions, but we can never question God. About 15 years ago, we lost our daughter, our second born. She only lived for a few hours. I was broken. As a minister of God, a pastor, I started asking, I said, God, why? Why would you do this? Why would you do this? After many years of pouring into other people, several years later, I have never received an answer. Sometimes, actually most times, God doesn't answer such questions. But my faith in God remained steadfast. Because good or bad, He doesn't change. He's still God all by Himself. And He still loves us. Praise the name of Jesus. So this morning, I came to encourage your faith. The sad thing, why is this faith important? Is faith is how we walk with God. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. If you first see before you believe, that is not called faith. It is called proper planning. Praise the Lord. That's not faith. If you first see things and then you believe, and that's what the word says. It said, no, I will believe it when I see it. For us believers, it is the reverse order. Do you know the kingdom of God is an operating system? So if we understand the way the kingdom works, then our faith is going to grow. Hallelujah. But it says the kingdom of God is at hand. It is within us. Faith is built within us. Faith is how we quench the fiery darts of the enemy. That's the next one. Faith is how we quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 17, if we lose faith, we get hit by the fiery darts of the wicked one. So if you lose faith, then you've given access to the enemy to hit you. Praise the Lord. Number four, faith is how we minister to others. Faith is how we minister to others. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 5 says, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Did you hear that? The one who supplies the Spirit. So we receive, we minister to others. There's another scripture in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 5. I think I read that. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he not do it by the Spirit of by the hearing of faith? James chapter 5, verse 14 to 15. Let's read James. It says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. Anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. The prayer of faith. So today, when you step out in faith, the Lord shall move on your behalf. I don't know what it is. Maybe you received a report, doctor's report with a diagnosis. It could be cancer. It could be a terminal disease. I have good tidings for you. Believe God. Lift your faith. It shall be so and not otherwise. In Jesus' mighty name. Faith is how we lay hold on eternal life. That's number five. Faith is how we lay hold on eternal life. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. God has given us the free gift of eternal life, but we need to have a firm grip on it. That's why Paul is telling Timothy, say, fight the good fight. We need to make a tight hold on eternal life. How do we do that? Through faith. If we lose our faith, we lose our grip on God's free gift of eternal life. We must continue walking the life of faith. Praise the Lord. How does the enemy work to weaken or rob us of our faith? So if this faith is important, then we need to know, why does the enemy work tooth and nail to rob us of our faith in God? First of all, Romans 10 and verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by God's word, and knowing God through his word. So the enemy comes and robs us of our faith through these things. And I want you to watch out for these. The first one, write it down, distractions. Distractions that keep us from the word of God. We become too busy. Sometimes we're actually doing legitimate things. Let me say something to you, Waters Church. Not everything good is godly. There are some good things, and they're good. There's nothing wrong with them, but God is not in them. Where I come from, we thought that everything from America is good. Until I came to America. And I saw food that is not good. I saw people that don't look good. And I said, oh, all this time they lied to us. Not everything good. I had this, what they call the American dream. Oh, today I came to introduce to you the God dream. Hallelujah. Distractions, they come to rob us of our faith in God. We must intentionally take time to read, meditate, and declare the word of God. Number two, lies and deceptions. Write that down. Lies and deceptions. Lies bind, truth sets free. Lies bind, and the enemy uses lies. That's why scripture says that be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not conform any longer to the standard. Be renewed. So lies, he comes and whispers to you. He says, did God really say? He's lying to you. He's saying, you know, you're going to die. I was a few years ago, I had a stomach infection. And I tried everything. Medication, antibiotics, I wasn't getting well. So I went to see a doctor who was recommended by somebody. And I think they have a specialty in what happens in the stomach. I don't know what you call them, but that'll be for another time. Praise the Lord. And so I went, and this doctor, he says, Pastor, one of the things you have to stop doing is you have to stop fasting. Because fasting is causing a lot of problems. I said, Doctor, I am a pastor. I can't stop fasting because fasting is what helps me grow spiritually. Because scripture says there are some things that will not go except by prayer and fasting. So I disobeyed the doctor. I'm sorry if you're a doctor and you're here. I disobeyed the doctor. I called a 21-day prayer and fasting in my church. And during the 21 days, the Lord completely healed me of the infection. It's been 10 years. So faith does not deny the facts, but it defies them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Lies and deceptions that make us question the word of God. Number three, difficult circumstances. As soon as we hear the promises of God, what happens? Then we begin to face some problems that seem to challenge God's promises. Listen to me, child of God. Don't doubt during the day what God told you in the middle of the night. It's still true. The enemy specializes in coming during the day and tells you, whispers to your ears, and he says, I don't think that was true. What God told you in the night, he says, yeah, I think you are sleep talking. So don't listen. When things get tough, choose to believe God. The enemy comes and says, did God really say that you can have eternal life through faith in Jesus? Yes, he said it. And we believe it. Hallelujah. Did God really say that he will bless the works of your hands? Yes, he said it. And on and on and on. So we stand on the fact that God's word is truth and God cannot lie. His word is forever settled in heaven. Praise the Lord. Scripture says, let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. And number four, this is how the enemy robs and weakens our faith. He neutralizes God's word through wrong theology. Sometimes people, sometimes they mean well. Sometimes, have you had people in your life who come and they explain the promises of God out of your life? They said, you know what? You need to use logic and rob you of your faith in God. Don't allow it. Never allow the enemy to rob you out of your faith, because your faith in God is precious. Somebody say, my faith in God is precious. So you have to protect it. You have to guard it. Something precious, you guard it. You protect it. I remember back home when I first bought my first car, little car, because as a pastor, part of your job description is make sure you transport everyone you find on the way to church. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's where I come from. So you put some of them in the trunk. Everybody has to get to church. And if you don't take them, they will say, you may not make it to heaven. How do you dare leave me? So I just bought my car, my first car. And then and things begin to happen. And I was like, God, so how are we going to do this? How am I going to get all these people and take them to church? And then you're thinking about the gas. You're thinking about wear and tear. And God says, well, my will is my bill. Take care of my people and I'll continue providing for you. Some of us, sometimes we stop God's provision for us because we are not obedient. We are not walking in faith. Praise the Lord. We are not. There are things that look normal to us here in America, but in Africa, it's precious. You wake up in the morning and open the fridge and there's every manner of food. That's not the story in Africa. So if God has taught us how to live by faith, then you need to have double faith. Or triple faith. Praise the Lord. How to fight the fight of faith. All the scriptures that we read at the beginning are calling us to act. There's an action we need to see. We are called to take. Scripture says, fight the good fight. Somebody say, fight the good fight. Take the shield of faith. Say it again. Take the shield of faith. Resist him. Steadfast in faith. So it's telling us to fight, to take, and to resist. All these are verbs. Things we must do as we engage in conflict. All the scriptures we read are saying to you, believer, it says, fight the good fight. Do you know why Paul calls it the good fight? He calls it the good fight because the good fight is the fight where you know the victory. You know that you are already on the winning side. Praise the Lord. And I think that is an encouragement to us believers that we are engaging in a fight where we know who takes the day. And Jesus takes the day. So fight the good fight. Take the shield of faith. Resist him steadfast in the faith. So based on what we see in the scriptures, there are three practices that are going to help us fight the good fight of faith. Praise the Lord. Write this down. Number one, feed your faith with the word. Feed your faith with the word. I know sometimes we wake up in the morning and we want to open our phones or whatever you use and read quotes from people. They look nice, or they appear nice, but there's nothing that can replace the word of God. I listen to podcasts, but not even the podcast should replace your moment that you spend in the word of God. Feed your faith with the word, not with quotes from the pastor, They may be from the Word, but they're surely not the Word. Feed your faith with the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Feed your faith. Our faith is birthed, nurtured, and strengthened through the Word. Read the Word. Meditate in the Word. Read God's promises over the different areas of your life, your family, your future, your children, your ministry. Declare these words from the Word of God over everything that concerns you. That's how you fight the good fight of faith. Because he said, fight the good fight. What you do and where you do it. Hallelujah. Amen. Number two, speak your faith in the Word. Speak your faith in the Word. The Lord Jesus taught us in the scriptures, Mark chapter 11, verse 22 to 23, told us to speak to the mountains. Speak words that express our faith in God and His Word. Declare the promises of God concerning your life. One of my friends told me, he said, whatever life throws at you, there's a promise in the Word concerning what you're going through. Praise the Lord. The problem is that because you haven't opened your Bible, you don't know that it is there. So this is what the enemy does. He comes and sows seeds of doubt. He says, that's not in the Bible. Where in the Bible does God talk about finances? There's loads of scriptures where God talks about faithfulness with your finances. Praise the Lord. Where does God in the Bible say that we must come to church on Sunday? Well, scripture says we don't give up the habit of meeting together like most of you are doing. Fellowship, having a community of believers. Let me tell you, doesn't matter how much you pray, how spiritual you are going to go through tough times. They are going to come. And we are living in a day and time where we have the hyper faith and hyper grace, where they say, oh, for as long as you are born again, nothing evil. That's a lie from the pit of hell. As a Christian, you're going to face some tough times. And I came with good news today, Waters Church, that even through the tough situations, the Lord is on your side. The scripture says he will never leave you nor forsake you. He's right there with you. Even this morning, I don't know what you're going through, but I bring good tidings. He's right there with you. So speak and declare God's promises over different areas of your life and walk with God. Your spiritual life, your victory, your health, your finances, your future, your family, your children, your ministry. It doesn't matter. Speak the promises of God concerning every area of your life. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And sometimes you need to get out of the comfort zone. You need to get out of places that are familiar. One of the things I have learned about God is God gets all the blessings and puts them outside of your comfort zone. Number three, act your faith in the Word. It is good to feed your faith with the Word. It is good to speak your faith in the Word. But it's also important to act your faith in the Word. Do things that are aligned to and agree with God's Word and express your faith in God. Praise the Lord. If God has delivered you from something, what business do you have walking back into that something? Do something about it. Don't say, you see the Lord. You see, this is what I always say to my church. I say, church begins on Monday. Sunday is garage time. A lot of us on Sunday morning, we are full of faith. And Monday, you're dropping your kids to school and someone just comes in front of you. You say, oh, this faith thing, I'll meet it on Sunday at church. And some words come out of you that are not very spiritual. And you say, I will repent after this. No, do something about it. Act your faith in the Word. Sometimes you need to restrain yourself. Praise the Lord. Amen. Because you have the audience of one. Hallelujah. God is always watching. Do things that are aligned and agree with God's word and express your faith in God. Sometimes, let me say this to you, Waters Church. Sometimes you need to walk away from people that are negative. Because they're not feeding your faith. This is what they say. They say it's okay to compromise a little bit. Don't play with Satan. His mission is to steal, kill, and destroy. It is only Jesus that came to give us life and give it us in abundance. So don't give a devil, you give him a foothold, he takes seven. Some of us have entertained him in our homes. Your kids keep having bad dreams. You know why? The stuff they watch. So as a man and a woman full of faith, you need to act your faith in the word. There are some shows that you need to take off from your children. I don't care how much they cry. They will appreciate you after many years. Hallelujah. I don't care how much they cry, because kids here in America cry so much. If you take away stuff from them, they cry and they say, take me to the ER now. Say no, act your faith in the word. And say, this shall not work in this home. Let your children know that your faith in God is growing. Praise the Lord. Walk away from some relationships. Let me tell you something. A few years ago when the Lord called me into the ministry, my family, my own family members, and let me say this to you, sometimes your family members, they don't have to agree with everything you tell them. Some of us are waiting for family members to say, yes, God called you. It may take a lifetime for them to say God actually called you. But I believe that God had called me into the ministry and I took a step. My father, he went to be with the Lord. He said, oh, I don't think you will turn out to be a preacher. I don't think so. He says, who in the family is a preacher? There's none. You want to be the first one? I said, yes, sir. I want to be the first one. And today my family has four pastors. Praise the Lord. Because I took a step. I took a step. Act your faith in the word of God. I'd like to read the last scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. I want to activate the atmosphere for prayer right now because I feel God wants to do something in the room. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, for he says, in unacceptable time I heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted, approved, pleasing, favorable time. Behold, now is the time of salvation. Not tomorrow. Now. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants to deliver your family now. God wants to deliver you from that addiction now. That's why he says, fight the good fight of faith. Because you're seated here and your mind is resting. Should I believe God? Should I not? Well, I have good news. Believe God that he can deliver you from anything that is holding you back in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. So I came to announce to you, Waters Church, now is the time of your salvation, not tomorrow. And salvation here may not mean delivering you from sin into eternal life. Salvation here means healing. Salvation here means restoration of your family. Salvation here means your children coming back home. Salvation means you coming to serve the Lord. So he says, now, not tomorrow. And I feel his presence in the room right now. I want you to rise on your feet and raise your hands to heaven in the name of Jesus. And let's place a demand. Let's lean in Jesus' name all over this room. Come on, raise your hands to heaven. Oh, Lord, the fight of faith requires that we raise our level of expectation. So thank you, Lord, because faith, the seeds of faith have been sowed this morning in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I want to pray for that man and that woman, Lord, whose faith has been on the test. Oh, Lord, and they are on the verge of throwing in the towel, of giving up and saying, God, I believed you for too long and this thing is just not working. He says, fight the good fight of faith. So put an action to your faith right now. Open your mouth and begin to talk to him. All over this room, raise your hands to heaven. Yes, yes. Vision is being restored. Dead dreams are coming to life in the name of Jesus. Yes. Sickness is being healed in the name of Jesus. That's why he says fight. Fight the mindset that says no, God cannot heal you. Fight it and say, God, by your stripes, I am healed. By your stripes, I am healed. Confusion. No more confusion. There shall be clarity concerning your dream. There shall be clarity concerning your calling in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are restoring marriages. Marriages that were broken. And some of these couples had lost faith. And they're saying, well, I think that is, this is what it is. You are a God of miracles. And so we call on you. We bless your holy name. We glorify your name. For in Jesus' name we pray, and everybody says, come and lift those hands and give Jesus a clap offering right now in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Yes, he's worthy. He's worthy in the name of Jesus. Listen to this child of God at the end of his service. I'm going to join the life group leaders here, and I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. The Bible says that the anointing breaks the yoke. Hallelujah. I said there are some yokes that must be broken here this morning in Jesus' name. I said there are some yokes that must be broken in Jesus' name. So go ahead and celebrate Jesus. Come on, come on.